Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You're tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm Jill Spears, your host, here with our favorite gardeners. Hello, Lance and Lulu.
Hello there. How are you?
Great.
Hi, everybody.
Great to be here. Mm-hmm. It feels real cool here in the studio.
In the studio.
Yeah, it's right? Really nice.
Thanks for keeping it that way. Members supported.
Yeah.
KVNF Community Radio. Yep. And we love our listeners. And you can call in and talk about gardening. 970-527-4868, 866 KVNF Now. worm@kvnf.org is the email. And we'll start out with an email from Cedar.
Mm-hmm.
It's about some mailbox elder trees that aren't doing well. And this apparently came on pretty suddenly about 2 to 3 weeks ago. There wasn't anything sprayed in the area, no burrowing creatures. Oh, she says no signs of aphids or other parasites, sent some pictures of her box elders. And
Her box elders blight.
Her box elders blight.
Yeah. It could be many things. I'm still going back to some of the dead and stuff in there is from last year's hard frost.
Yep.
Everybody took a hit on that.
Everybody took a hit there. Even if you notice, even the elm trees.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the elm trees have big die-off branches.
Now that she says it's deformed, I was in a garden last Friday, and I know there's no sprays, herbicide sprays is what I'm talking about, and stuff, and leaves were deformed, mainly on what's an old flowering plant called Golden Globe. And it's a daisy-type flower. But clovers, I'm trying to think else, Galardia, and they were just deformed. And I don't know what that was, what did that.
It's hard to say. And then we had that little snap frost.
Mm-hmm.
But this doesn't look like frost to me. And what interests me is Cedar sent us this picture. And the branch has all these little spots on it. And that looks to me like it might have been scale. And the scales are gone. And mm-hmm. Scale is a little infestation of these. How do you even call those creatures? I mean,
well, they
it's
suck
a live,
the juice.
Living
they,
thing.
Yeah, I think it's almost like crawls up there like an aphid would, only it sucks.
Then it parks itself.
Parks and makes a little bump.
Yeah,
in the shell.
And it's like a tiny clamshell clombed onto the bark. I mean, it's tiny, and it looks like they might have been on there last year or something, and they left these little spots can be the scars, and then that one branch, is there a vine growing near there or something? Because it looks like there's something wrapped around the twig.
Mm-hmm.
The twig. But, yeah, that deformity thing, I don't get it. You know, but you got to look at what the weather's been doing. It's, mm-hmm. it was cold and cool and, we had lots of cloud cover. And in the last couple of days.
In the last three days, it's over 90.
Everything's just sucked.
It's over 90.
Out.
Mm-hmm. The sun is blazing. And we've talked about this before. The plants just can't take up enough moisture to sustain mm-hmm. themselves.
Yeah.
So they wilt. But then they come back as soon as it's cool. My grass looks like it needs water desperately. My 800 feet or so of grass. And only while the sun is out. And then as soon as the shade comes from those big maple trees, bam, it's back to being this beautiful dark green.
Yeah.
So
hang in there.
Yeah.
And
call the tree, tell Cedar about the tree thing that's going on.
Yeah. So a lot of stuff going on with the trees. But this is the second annual Sick Tree Day, which is Saturday, June 26th. And it's for Paonia and the North Fork. And the Paonia Tree Board will visit yards. If you schedule a visit, they'll diagnose a tree problem that you might have and prescribe targeted management solutions. So a bunch of experts are going to be there, Colorado Master Gardeners, CSU Extension Service experts, even an expert on insects. So you can call Paonia Town Hall, 970-527-4101 to schedule an appointment. Huh. It's June 26th.
If it says Paling Town and the North Fork, then some of the areas outside of town are probably just fine.
I would call.
Check it out.
Mm-hmm. Check it out. You know, and if you can't get them to come this time, maybe they can come another time or something.
Right. It's a good resource to get on the list with.
Great. Boy, you get those guys on there. They know what's going on.
Yeah.
You know.
I can see that there's problems, but I don't know. Just like the Austrian pine last week.
Yeah.
Right, and you're right out there, and they're all together and, and chatting about it. So.
Yeah, so you got all these experts, you know, trying to figure it out. It's not like just one yo-yo like me.
Call this yo-yo factory 970-527-4868-866 KVNF now. And lots of things planted, weeding, thinning. Are you still planting, Lulu?
Oh, God, yeah.
It's time for her to plant squash.
Oh, yeah, right.
That's
You're
right.
Coming right up on it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I got it all figured out. I've been agonizing over where I was going to put my beets and collards. Jill's computer just went black.
Oh, that's all right. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. Holy man.
So
you can still
do you know
us.
What beds you're putting them in, you mean? Or do you have empty spots? Or
Yeah, all of the above. I got the bean trellis in, you know, for my beans. And I've got the supports in for the snap peas.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was agonizing over whether I was going to put collards or beets in front of the snap peas. I finally decided on beets.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the row in between the beets and the peppers, I'm going to put arugula.
Okay.
Nice.
I think that'll work.
Your bag there? Is that arugula?
Yeah, but that's Silvet.
Oh.
That's the one that seeds itself all over the place. I mean, you know, I start eating from my garden in the end of, well, it depends, but by mid-April.
Mm-hmm.
There's enough of that around to eat.
Do you make pesto with that?
You know, I have once or twice, but I'm not.
You use
usually I don't. Usually I use
varieties.
The other variety.
Mm-hmm.
This is hot, this pesto.
Ooh,
this,
okay.
This is really hot. I love it. It's tangy. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you've got everything planted except for maybe your cabbage.
Cabbage and the fall cabbage, fall kale, and kohlrabi. And those, and they'll be, the kale I'll hold off, but the cabbage soon in 2 weeks. And I direct seeded in the ground, which vast majority of people don't do that. And then I have the fifth bed of carrots ready to plant.
Okay, fifth bed. What is the status of the carrot situation?
Well, the first one's doing well and been thin. The second one is 3/4 thinned. The third one is up, and I'll start thinning that next week. The fourth one is just barely germinating.
You planted that just last week, right?
Yeah, 10 days ago.
Okay.
About 10 days ago.
Oh, that's just about on schedule then.
Yeah, and it's really interesting. The Danvers come up first. Then the red Chardonnays, and then this bread's a little bit different, and then the Italian giant reds, and then the French Theocene half longs.
Nice.
Yeah.
Perfect timing.
Yeah,
right?
They all come, and it's all been planted at the same time, watered the same, but that's how they germinate. Yeah. You know, so, and then I have this one bed that's, I call it the catch all. And when I know how much space I need for what, half of that bed will be probably Scarlet Nanti carrots.
Nice. That'd be a great time lapse.
You could see it. It's really amazing.
To watch that.
Yeah, that would
Lance's
be cool.
Carrot garden.
Yeah.
Hey, we've got a caller on the line. I can't see who it is, but hello, caller. Who are we speaking with tonight?
Hi, this is Kristen.
Hi, Kristen. What's going on?
Hi. Well, I turned on the radio late once again, but you were talking about deformed leaves, and that's what I wanted to ask about, deformed leaves on one of my tomato plants. I mean, to me, they look deformed. I have two black crim and one sun gold, and it's just one black crim. The leaves are curling upward, all of them. Yeah.
Upward? Soil.
Yeah. Get rid of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get rid of it.
No two ways about it.
Yeah. It's got some fungal thing going on.
Yeah. Just throw it in the trash. Don't compost it. Don't do anything.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Sorry. But if you don't do it, if you don't do it, you won't have tomatoes there at all next year.
Well, it's in a 20-gallon pot.
Yeah, well.
Oh.
Will it spread
rid of it?
It could spread to others, yes.
The sun golds are so resilient, though. I don't know. My San Marzano is always
Sweet. Just I know I saw a farm on Redlands Mesa or Rogers Mesa, and they were pulling the plants out and burning them.
Wow.
That was not this year, last year. And there's an old farm, Burt's Produce, up on Redlands Mesa, and they did the same thing. In fact, they tore everything out and got rid of them. For one season, they had no tomatoes. You know, Curly Top was that one.
Oh, okay.
Wow. So you can tell without looking at it,
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what disease it is. Yeah. These other people I know was Curly Top. What you have, I don't know.
Yeah.
But anything curly and deformed and it's in tomatoes.
And especially curling up. I mean, that's weird.
Yeah.
Anyway. And you have it in a 20-gallon pot?
Yeah. And the soil mixed up. And it's the same in all three pots.
Mm-hmm. And only that one pot with that one variety is doing that?
Well, I am out looking at it right now, and I see the second black
trim
is also
setting. Oh, we
beautiful, healthy plant. Up and
oh. So frustrating when that happens.
Yeah.
The life of a farmer there, huh? Wow.
Oh.
Hard.
Yeah. I would get rid of everything and I'd put this pot out in the sun and really let it rest.
Dry out.
And
sunburn.
See if you can get it sunburned.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Right?
No sunscreen for that pot. Put it out in the sun. Yeah, something went terribly awry. There's no doubt.
This is one of those years where you share with your neighbor and you have your neighbor's tomatoes in exchange.
It's just one of those years all around. I mean,
Who knows what's going to happen? The whole water situation
is bad.
I do have a sun gold.
Oh, good.
All right.
Okay, well,
thank you. Thank you, Kristen. Good luck.
Sorry.
Hard decision right there.
Okay, let us know.
Bye.
Bye. I know, that's terrible.
And it can come on just like that. On the box elder, on a tomato.
And the tomatoes are notorious. I mean, I have this little pamphlet, 300 and some odd tomato diseases defined, you know?
Which one's going to get me?
Which one's going to get you first?
Had one year, I think I had 9 tomato plants and I pulled 7.
There's your odds right there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Just got rid of them.
Right. Yeah, my San Marzanos are not nearly as vibrant as my sun golds, but I've learned, and those are the two varieties I grow all the time,
mm-hmm.
and I've learned over the years that the San Marzano just cut the leaves off, and if it shows that it's getting fabulous again, great. If it's not, adios. And the sun golds seem to go merrily on no matter what happens.
Very resilient.
Yeah, super resilient. So
you got to be okay with making those choices sometimes.
Yeah,
yep.
And so that's why when you say, you're still planting. Well, I'll still be planting probably until God knows when.
I'll be planting the first week of August.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'll be doing weird little things. I'll have an empty spot somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll
filling in something.
Throw some dill seed in there. Or throw some, parsley in there. Whatever.
This is a month out, but the Learning Council and VOGA looked through their list of summer classes, and I'll be doing a class on July 14th for fall planting.
Oh, great.
For fall planting for harvest. Yeah.
So okay.
And it will be at my place.
Your garden.
At my garden.
Cool. Okay.
But they'll have all the information on their website. That's VOGA or the Learning Council.
.org.
Yeah.
See,
perfect.
And that's where I bomb out is that fall planting stuff because mm-hmm. I have so much shade. By the time I'm getting ready for fall, I'm losing sunlight big time.
Yeah, you got the big trees and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, your timing works though because you get so busy harvesting and drying and
that it works just fine.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't want anything else. I want it all.
I got enough.
Yeah.
Okay, 970-527-4868-866. KVNF Now. Worm at KVNF.org. I was going to ask you about that flower bed that you planted.
Oh.
That was a new
thing
this year.
Yeah, with all the stuff in it.
The cosmos and the zinnias, the marigolds, they came up in 6 days.
Oh, fabulous.
Yeah.
My zinnias germinated in 3.
Yeah.
I planted them just 3 days ago. I spread the seeds.
Yeah. I know we like to do things early, but if you wait... the soil's warmer. You got longer day lengths, especially for the warm season stuff.
Yep. And the water's even a little warmer.
Yeah.
So you don't freak them out there, too.
You know, wherever I, you know, when I take the garlic out in July, I plant pintos. And they're up in 6 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
my zinnias came up in 3 days. And remember, I remember last year I was going, how do you tell which one is a seed? And it's the one with the little point and the little kind of tail. Well, I guarantee those. I had the ones that were the seed.
Okay,
good. There's gazillions out there. It's going to be great.
Yeah, yeah. Just something drastic with, you know, tomatoes. And it's on the list, Jill, is I pruned all my grapes to the ground.
Right, all the way to the ground. Even when you had a shoot or no shoot,
they went to the ground. And some of them, just starting over again. And one of them has been this, the archway over my gate. And I cut it down to about 2.5 foot stump. And 3 days later, it has a shoot on it.
Wow.
So I really forced it.
No guts, no glory.
Yeah.
So it is drastic,
but.
I noticed when I pruned the apricots that were suffering, they did really well afterwards.
Right?
Yeah, they just...
You had me clean out my lavender bed last year and get that woody stuff out, and boy, did that make a difference.
Yeah, that new wood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, oh, God. It sage, and the Dalmatian
your garden sage
yes. is a good one to do that for, too.
Yeah, it just blooms it right up.
It just gets so happy.
I have a sage plant that's over 20 years old.
No kidding.
Yeah, I dug it out of Dorothy Krausen's house, which is the house that next door to Delicious Orchards where the sewer plant is. I dug it out of there 20-something years ago.
Wow.
And I still got it. It was a seedling
as
I planted, and it's still there.
Yeah. Mm,
my sage looks great this year.
Yeah, mine does too.
Right on. Let's see what's happening with Phil up in Austin. Hello, Phil.
How's it going, y'all?
Oh, good.
What's happening?
Oh, I got to, first of all, thank y'all, because I love tuning into As the Worm Turns, and honestly, I think you guys should get more airtime. I'll say that as a member and then some, because okay. I'm sitting around, I'm walking around looking at my tomatoes saying, are the leaves turned up?
Guy, right. I hope
on
not.
High alert.
Yeah.
Right?
Right? All of a sudden, I'm like, oh, Jiminy Jellicoe.
Yeah.
Right.
No, more than anything, I was actually kind of wondering, you know, as a small farmer who participates in farmer's markets here in Delta County, you know, would you all be upset if I put up a sign that said, hey, tune into the As the Worm Turns? Because I've certainly enjoyed the product, and y'all have saved a handful of my crops already.
Yeah. Yeah, go right ahead.
Go ahead.
I tell people wherever I go.
There you go. Spread the word.
Yeah.
So do I.
Yeah, We need more as the worm turns. Thank y'all.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Phil. Yeah.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, appreciate that.
You know, when I ski with, I ski all winter and teach skiing and stuff, mm-hmm. and people always say, well, what do you do in the summer? And I tell them, and they love it,
Yeah.
And you just say, hey, 6:30, you can live stream it,
mm-hmm.
KVNF.org.
There you go.
And it's really
fun.
Isn't
that amazing?
Yeah, it is amazing. Mm. It could be scary if you think about it.
Could be wormy.
But the good news is, that's what's so great about radio. Nobody can see what you
right?
look like
yeah.
or anything. You just hang out and do your thing.
It's yeah.
All right. Let's get some more callers on the line. 970-527-4868. 866 KVNF now. What's going on with critters? You've got some opportunistic people.
Oh, I have both the little finches, sparrows, since I don't really know what they are. They're eating the lettuce.
Yeah.
The young lettuce. Yeah.
The little rats, yeah.
Yeah. At first I thought something's eating this, and it could be a squirrel, but the squirrels will eat the whole center, the leaf that's had a lettuce out, and the big outside leaves are left. And this is just sort of chewed all over the place.
Yeah, that's just kind of little
frenzied
yeah.
chips out of it.
So that's going on there. And if it gets really bad, I'll have to put bird netting over all my lettuce.
Oh, wow.
It's simple
to that
as
point.
That. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the other thing, I have some nesting robins. And whenever I'm turning the compost, they are watching for every cricket or bug that jumps out of them.
Worm, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're not afraid of me. They come within 5 feet, but they're definitely watching.
No, they get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they are also, they work the edge of sprinklers. That's where
right,
the worms
that's where the worms
are.
come
up because it's getting wet.
Yeah.
And they always got a wet head when they're working the sprinklers. It's really quite comical to watch them hop around the garden, and they're watching if I'm digging in the ground or something, and if I go do something else, they're there where I was just digging.
Right.
I spent a lot of time this afternoon covering the bottom of my bean trellis because, when the beans start to come up, mm-hmm. they look like, how they do that mm-hmm. little fat sort of greeny kind of
yeah.
pale. And they think it's a worm, and they're in the robins
sure.
do too, and they're
calling
in there
them.
Macking out on the new
uh-huh,
sprouts.
Uh-huh.
So I put Rime, mm-hmm. and I close pin it onto the fencing.
Yeah.
And then I did that with the peas too, because they'll go after the peas, and they're in that garden all the time. Those wrens.
You have all the, you have all those big
finches.
Trees.
Yeah.
And they really.
Yeah, they're having a field day.
Man. Oh, they are. And in the morning, boy, the noise is just something
yeah.
else.
Mm-hmm.
And the committees are out big time in the neighborhood.
Boy, amen. That would be, when we say committee, we're talking about Heckle and Jekyll, those dang magpies. They have the best
busy
right? bodies. Ooh. Anyway, it's all fun.
Now, last year, Lance, you put out some parasitic nematodes.
Yeah.
And can you tell us about that? You got some good results.
I ordered them for fall, and they're time sensitive. You can keep them in the refrigerator for about a month, and then you mix them up. I forget what the actual ratio of water and all this kind of stuff. And you spray it on the ground, and then you water them in. And you can do it with a bucket. I happen to have a sprayer, so I sprayed them all in. And what I was going for was to get rid of flea beetles, and what happened is, first of all, I have no flea beetles, and there's also no earwigs, and there's no sow bugs in this area.
Wow, that's awesome.
That's
and,
big.
Yeah, the parasitic nematodes eat the eggs and the larvae in the ground. And so, with one
sucks
thing.
Sucks right in. And
So, took care of it. So, I recommend it.
When did you apply that?
October.
October.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe you can do it in summertime, but that's just, everything's planted then.
Yeah, right. You can't
so
get
you,
it in.
You mm-hmm. could either do it in the spring,
yeah.
but if you do it in the fall, the nematodes have the whole winter to work and do their job.
Really? They're down there
yeah, and,
throughout the winter?
You can get very specific blends. This one was for everything. Mm-hmm. I think there was technically in this little pouch of a tablespoon or two, there was over 10 or 20,000 nematodes in there.
Wow.
And isn't that the coolest?
Yeah.
Super cool.
I love that.
So that was really neat to see that it actually really worked.
Great.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. I swear to God, I don't know what it is, but my ground didn't harden up. And I think that's because there wasn't any water on it.
Yeah.
And those little birds, I mean, they're voracious, and mm-hmm. they're out there all the time. But you know what the insect of choice is this year? Are these tiny little wasps with a long sort of tail. Well, they're not that tiny. How big is that when I have my fingers like that? About a half an inch, maybe
that's
three quarters
tiny.
Of an inch.
Mm-hmm. Are they super thin?
They're thin, mm-hmm. and they have this sort of wobbly attitude. When they're hanging around, they look like they're kind of wobbly. You know, they mm-hmm. look like a neo, 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 like that.
Yeah.
And they're cool. There's a lot of them, and the little birds have been after them
big okay.
time.
There you go. It's a heyday out there for birds and insects.
I'm telling
you, really.
It's wild. And then I had to lower the water level in my chicken yard, in their chicken waterer, because little birds their babies are fledging, and they're not great flyers yet, and they're not really great landers either. I watched one try to land on one of the spokes in the fence. It didn't go well. And so sometimes they get on the edge of the watering trough for the mm-hmm. chickens, and they fall in and drown.
Oh, wow.
Even though there's only, 2-3 inches of water in there.
Yeah.
Usually there's 3 or 4 inches, so I keep it lower now, so maybe they won't drown.
Sweet little birdies.
I know. Mm-hmm.
And Lance, you've adjusted some things in your watering routine just because of dryness and the amount of water that you have access
well,
to.
Well, I just, on these dry years, if I use my well for 3 hours or so, it starts to suck water, air. Starts to spit air. So I just go and turn it off.
Yeah.
But what I went and did, I said, I don't need everything to be running full blast like it is. So I toned everything down. And it's increased the watering time by about an hour by doing that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So it's just, and just managing it, we have. And it's like this way it is, and good enough.
Right.
Right. I mean, that's the key right there. People don't realize how much water they use all the time.
Right. And just turning down the pressure a little bit
is huge. Mm-hmm. And it just is amazing to me.
Yeah.
How much? I mean, what's the first thing you do when you get up in the morning? You probably turn on some water somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I know. And the other thing, when I was running the sprinklers, and I've mentioned, but sometimes you don't want your sprinklers to be misting.
Oh, no.
Because that misting is just going off into
evaporating.
It's evaporating so fast.
Yes. And so you want them to be like raindrops.
Yeah.
And hitting the ground.
Yeah.
And I was talking to an old friend I've known since second grade out in Southern California. And he's done sprinkling and landscaping all his life also. And in California, he's in San Diego County right now. And it might be just a county. It might be a state thing. I have no idea. But they went and designed sprinklers that would not mist.
Awesome.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if you put those in, they gave you a bonus.
Really?
The county or whatever you're in, or they mm-hmm. actually said, if you put these in, we'll give you some type of benefits.
Right. There's so many things that you can do to save up water, and you have to be aware of it. Once you're aware of it, you see how wasteful things can be.
How many people leave the faucet running while they're rinsing the dishes to put them in the dishwasher?
Mm-hmm.
That drives
like
me
that.
Crazy.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's why I like my dish pans.
Yeah. And that's why I do each one individually, and then and I bring the water up from the pipes first thing, the heat up first thing in the morning. I have a big watering can. I put mm-hmm. it in.
There you go. Simple things like
it really all simple. Adds up. And and then all of a sudden you've saved 10 gallons a day or 20 more, and that's
pretty amazing.
Yeah, and that counts when there's. How many people, 4,000 people doing it,
yeah,
or 4 million or the 40 million people that are drinking off of Lake Powell and Lake Mead.
Right.
40 million.
Wow. Liquid life right there. Yeah. Water in the West.
Yep.
Well, that's a whole another
that's
10 million
issue.
Shows.
That's a winner show.
That's a winner show. There you go. A whole series, yeah. Right?
That would be good.
Mm-hmm. That'd be fun.
Yep. Get some water experts on or something.
Mm-hmm. Super important. Well, that's going to do it for us tonight. Mm-hmm. Another Tuesday gone by, and it's going to be hot and dry out there for the next week. So
yeah.
Do what you can and
work morning and evenings and stay cool in the middle of the day.
Right. Yep. And I think it's some form of one woman's perspective coming up next. But thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns on KVNF.
Okay, have a good evening.
Good night, everybody. Be kind to each other.
You've got a cute fast pocket master, which you can make both slow and faster. I don't know who you took a shine to or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so. Low, little low and low.